Member of Parliament's Portfolio Committee on Police has laid charges against four top members of the South African police force. He is Mr. Fadil Adams, and he is with us now. Welcome, Mr. Adams.
Good morning, Chris. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Mr. Adams, who have you laid charges against?
Four of the top generals in the country are Major General Lashaba, Major General Ledondo, Brigadier Tiani, and Brigadier Nkube, and Major General Kamalo. I've laid charges against these four officials for various crimes, various allegations rather, and it's up to the courts.
Okay. Are you in a position to give us the allegations in each case?
I will say as much as I can without compromising the cases, because obviously we don't want these people tried by media. But General Lashaba, it is alleged, on the 5th of August 2022, engages a prostitute, and she took his service pistol, his cell phone, and his state computer. All of these are state issued. He laid a criminal charge, and she was found. And when the story came out, it was smothered. There were no cases of negligence laid against the general. And his tech was the firearm, the cell phone, and the laptop was replaced allegedly using secret police funds, COVID funds. This was a massive cover-up, and we believe that the general does have a case to answer. So that is the one case. General Ledondo, who is the 2IC of Crime Intelligence, failed a polygraph. She has no clearance to work at this level. And then Brigadier Nkube, who was tasked with investigating the failure of the polygraph, never did a job. She just let it slide. And then against Major General Kumalo, who is the head of crime intelligence, we've laid charges of nepotism and cronyism. It's a sad state because I can tell you now, crime intelligence is the nerve center, it's the pulse, it's the core of the policing. Of the police services. If this unit is compromised, this country's no, we'll never win the war against crime. Remember this, criminality on the level that South Africans are exposed to it and used to it, it can't flourish without help, without assistance from SAPS. It can't, it's impossible. Now, we can't have people who may be as compromised as these allegations before us running the nerve center of SAPS. It doesn't make any sense. Who's protecting them? It must come up. Who's refused to prosecute, who's refused to investigate, it must come up. Because these are very, very serious allegations. Because in any well-run corporation, all four of these people would have been suspended on full pay until the end of an investigation. Why this has never happened, somebody needs to tell us. But it gets worse, and you know what, I'll allow you to do that back. Don't let me run your interview.
No. Mr. Adams, earlier you spoke to me about a Singapore trip. I don't know if we are going to talk about that on air.
I'm happy to talk about it. This year, Major General Ledondo and Major General Lashaba went on a two-day joust to Singapore. The purpose of the trip was to go to a convention to go and see the latest cyber techniques for fighting crime. My question is, why did 14 people have to go? Why do we take two clerks along? When I tell you clerks, I'm talking about constables. I question the 1.5 million rands value for a two-day trip to Singapore. We bought none of the equipment. As far as I know, none of the 14 people that came back shared any of the experience with SAPS. There's been no skills transfer. Whatever they may have learned on this exhibition, it was never spread amongst the rest of the country. So we are questioning the spin. Was this a buddy-buddy trip to Singapore, all expenses paid, all of it five-star, in an era of cost containment? There are police stations that do not have toilet rolls. Yet we spend 14 people five-star to Singapore for 2 holdings. We are asking, where is the value in it to the taxpayer? Because if you came back and said, these cell phones will help us fight crime, therefore we're purchasing 100, I'd say, okay. But there's no value. You didn't buy a pencil. You didn't purchase a thing that's going to make me, Chris, or our children safer. Major General Kumalo must come and answer.
Now, Mr. Adams, you had to go to two police stations in order to get these charges laid. What happened there?
So I went to lay the charges at the Grand Central Police Station in town. I've got very good relations with the brigadier there, with the officers there. But then a source came back to me and told me, well, the doctor has disappeared. I said, what? He said, I'm telling you, I have good information that the doctor is not here. So the next morning, I took a plane to Johannesburg, to Orlando Police Station, and I laid the charges there, and I waited for my case numbers before I left, because I was not going to run the risk of the docket maybe, possibly, probably disappearing again. Because understand that we live in a country where dockets disappear daily. People are forever coming out and say, I laid a charge and the docket's gone. So it's not beyond the realm of possibility or probability that a docket can disappear, especially with a case of this level. Just imagine I live in Cape Town. I'm entitled to lay the charge at Cape Town, and I'm entitled to expecting an outcome in Cape Town. But if the docket disappears, I have the resources to go to Johannesburg to go and lay it there, to make it harder for the docket to disappear. Other people don't. Normal people, normal taxpaying citizens, normal unemployed people, if they lay a charge and the docket disappears, what recourse do they have? This is the state of our police services. This is why 10 children die on the Cape Flats a day. This is why I believe that the mafia that's being prosecuted is the wrong one. I'm not saying it shouldn't be prosecuted. I'm saying it's a bigger mafia. I'm telling you that if crime intelligence is run properly, with fit and proper people, with people with unblemished records, with unimpeachable character, the crime levels in this country will drop immediately. But because it's not, we've got a problem here. Now, I need people to understand that you can make 1,000 dockets disappear. Not this one. Because this is a different type of character laying the charges. If I am required to walk to the National Commissioner's office in Pretoria to go and lay a charge, it is what I will do. Because we take these allegations very seriously. Remember, these allegations don't fall from the air. These are folders given to us by policemen who are concerned with the state of the organization that they love. These are men that bleed blue that are saying, these guys are killing us. So we, as the NCC, are taking this action because there's 300 parties on the ballot. We are brand new. I have to ask, what are the rest of you all doing?
Now, earlier this morning, you sent me a video of an interview you conducted with a former task team member who has been on remand in prison for almost 5 years. Tell us what that is all about, Mr. Adams.
The sad thing is that he's not the only one. But I will not mention his name for his safety. But I went to Westville because I was directed to this gentleman by another policeman who cares about the state of SAPS. And I went to Westville prison in my capacity as a member of parliament, and I asked to see a specific prisoner, and I wanted to see him alone. I said to the, let me first commend the staff at the Westville prison for doing a very professional job under very trying circumstances, especially the deputy commissioner of KZN. But I was put in touch with this man, and I spoke to him, and you know, I left Westville prison, he was tears running down my face, because I had an in-depth meeting with a few people. But one story, I still can't get it out of my head. He says to me, Mr. Adams, I was called into the office of Brigadier Kamalo, and he wanted me to arrest a mayor. And I said to him, there's no evidence that justifies an arrest. And he says to me, General Kamalo says that minister at the time, Beki Tsele, does not care about the evidence. He wants the media narrative. Go and arrest this woman. And he said, I will do it. I'm not a politician. I'm a policeman. Weeks later, he was arrested for defeating the ends of justice. Now, let me explain something to you. I wasn't always a good boy. I've been to court maybe 50 times in my life. No case runs for longer than 12 or 13 months without the state bringing evidence before the judge kicks it out. No man lies on remand awaiting trial 4.5 years for a non-violent crime. I believe that this poor officer is a political pawn. And I believe that certain people that work for the justice system are part of this mafia. If you listen to this officer and if you listen to the testimonies of the people that speak of him, they're saying that this man did nothing wrong. This man simply refused to obey an illegitimate instruction. He said, no, I'm not a politician. I am a policeman. Do not ask me to do this, General. Next thing you know, he's in jail for 4.5 years. Do you know what happens to a policeman in jail? They know what happens to a policeman in jail. What they may or have allegedly done to this poor officer. It's a crime. And we will pursue this through the courts, through the JSC, through every means available. But that officer will receive justice. Because
I could see from that video.
If you look at what happened to General Andre Lincoln a few years ago, it's more or less the same thing. That if a policeman tries to do his job, that if he defies illegal orders, you'll end up in court and possibly in jail. Now, tell me, what kind of appetite would I have if I was a decent human being and a good policeman and I was told to do something if I know what the consequences may be if I refuse? The South African Police Services appears to be a mafia. It appears to be the biggest gang in the country. Now, when I took this thing up, I was asked by a very good friend of mine, are you sure you want to do this? I said, why would you ask me this? I have to do this. He said to me, Bhutai, you're not going up against a gang boss. A gang boss has 200-300 soldiers. These people have 100,000. He says, SARS will be in your pockets tomorrow morning. Charges will be trumped up against you. Your name will be smeared in the media. I said, they need to do what they need to do. Because this is our police forces, our police services, not his. If people are misusing secret state funds to buy cars, to establish political task teams, to have political opponents killed, to have good policemen locked up, then the rest of us need to speak up about it. I asked for the position to be on the police portfolio committee because I was aware of the rot in SAPS. I was not aware that it runs this deep. That I was not prepared for. We go on about policemen receiving bribes, taking 100 grand from taxi drivers. And let me tell you that it's wrong. That's wrong. But when you factor in that a police constable earns peanuts in this country and he's concerned about how he's going to pay for the school taxi in the morning, what excuse does a general earning 150,000 rand a month have? We will get to the bottom of this. Let me show you that.
Mr. Adams, you seem 100% willing to bear the consequences of what you're doing right now. But this is not the first time that you have been vilified for trying to bring corruption to light and for laying charges. Tell us what happened the last time.
Ma'am, the last time I came across fraud on this type of level, I took it to the mayor. I played a recording to the mayor of his head of law enforcement offering a 40 million rand bribe to a material witness in a case. I asked the mayor, where does this man get 40 million from? Who authorized this bribe? The mayor said, no, I'm going to act on this. Send me the recording. I said to the mayor, I don't trust you. I won't give you the recording, but you've heard the recording. Now act. Jordan E. Lewis did not act. As a matter of fact, the next month, he brought a motion to council to pay for that same head of law enforcement's legal bills when he was arrested for defeating the ends of justice. I thought, wow, what am I dealing with here? Then there's a forensic report in that same issue relating to 349 million rands worth of fraud. The mayor looked at me in full council. He stood up, he lied. He said, there's no evidence of fraud in the report. None. He says, there's a few lapses, like 349 million rands worth of a few lapses. I said, okay. We went ahead and we laid the criminal charges. The mayor said, there are no politicians involved. Then Malusi Boy got arrested. Now the mayor's backpedaling. The city manager unlawfully cancelled contracts relating to the safety of the people of the Cape Flats. And he's about to get a scot-free, or maybe not. This is not the first time we've gone after this type of thing. Last time we did this, the Democratic Alliance laughed at me and called me a madman, told me I was dreaming of these figures. Now their colleagues are being locked up, Now people are preparing to go to jail for 15 years plus. We don't publish every allegation because an allegation is an allegation until a judge rules. Even the cases I've led, these people are presumed innocent until proven guilty. We stand by this. We believe in this. This is not something I suck out of my thumb. But if it appears that there's prima facie evidence for people to come and state their case in court, then we will be fighting for their right for the day to be in court. That's what we are.
Thank you. Thank you. That was Mr. Fadil Adams of Parliament's Portfolio Committee on Police, speaking to BizNews after he laid charges against four top members of the South African Police Force. Thank you, Mr. Adams. And I'm Chris Steyn.